I just want to share this morning, and we'll do things a little bit, you know, do the offering and all that later. So if you want to get your Bibles, just turn to Luke chapter 5. Okay. Actually, can the band, can you come back up here a minute? All right. A bit of exercise. Just everybody come back up. One of the things the Lord's been talking about this week is about the church being a place of His glory. Not just the meeting point, but the church, the people, us. But also, there's a place that His glory comes and is manifested in our lives, or they're manifested through our lives. And one of the things that God's been saying to me and saying to us is that we've got 3 months as an autumn of preparation before the new year. And we have two ways in which we need to prepare. One is spiritually, in terms of the prayer and understanding, as we heard last week on Sunday, the way the meeting was and the things that God was saying, that prayer isn't just many words. It's not because we should do or supposed to or we have to. But if we understand that prayer is a spiritual activity that is in relation to us as a believer and to the call of God on us as a people, that when we pray, we stand in a place in the Spirit, and in that place we have authority because we've been raised with Christ. We're seated at the right hand with Christ. We're heirs with Christ. We have the authority that Christ has given us. We stand in the Spirit to declare, to decree, to proclaim, to permit, to not permit. We control the traffic in the Spirit. We control the traffic in the Spirit. Now, if we believe that, then the way we pray will be different than just hoping something will happen, or praying a lot in tongues, hoping that something's happening because we don't know what to pray, so we just shunned our way for ages, and hopefully God will do something. God wants us to be very certain and definite about who we are in Him, the place we have in Him, the authority that we have, whether it's in your life, in the situations around you, or in corporately in what we're called to as a church. And so there's the spiritual thing. Prayer is unlocking things. And it's not through many words that you unlock things. It's by hearing what God says, releasing what He says through commands or through declaration, or if He gets us to pray in a certain way in terms of intercession or whatever. The second way is practically. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus steps into Peter's boat, or Simon's boat as he was then, on the edge of the lake, and he says, just push out a bit. And as they push out, he sits in the boat and he teaches all the people. After he's taught the people, he says, let's go out into the deep. And when they get out into the deep, he says, throw your nets on the other side. Now, Simon says to him, well, you know, we've been out here all night, Lord, but we've caught nothing. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He was a professional. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to catch fish. But on that particular night, he'd caught nothing. And Jesus says to him, look, throw your nets over. So he says, well, we've done it all night, but because you say so, I'll do it. And so he throws his net over. And the next thing, the net is so full, they have to call their partners to come over to help them catch the fish. Now, Peter knows how to do all of that in the natural. All of that. He knows. He knows the program. He knows the schedule. He knows the skills. He knows everything he needs. But yet there was a dimension of the Holy Spirit at that moment that caused a harvest or a fruitfulness or a catch that he just didn't think was possible. Yet he just did the same thing that he normally does. He chucked his net over. But because it was in line with the word that Jesus spoke at that moment, it produced something. And we, in 3 months, this is the 1st of October today, so we've got October, November, December. We've got 3 months to get ready for the harvest. Now, God has been speaking to me and to us about next year being a year of harvest, that God has purposed a certain harvest for us for next year. And He's purposed certain fruitfulness as a church for next year. And He said, what we do in the next 3 months will determine the amount of that harvest we will see and the amount of that fruitfulness that we will see. So you can say, well, if God's saying something, sure, it's going to happen. But yes, God works with us and we respond to what He says. And that to the degree that we respond to what He says is the degree that we will see what He has purposed. So does that mean we can miss what his purpose? Yes, if we don't respond to what he wants to do. So prayer's going to unlock some stuff for next year. And the practicalities of getting ready, equipping people, ready for the harvest and to be fruitful. That's what we've got to do in 3 months. Is that all right? So in that story, when Jesus stepped into the boat, at that moment, Simon was mending the nets or cleaning his nets, getting the nets ready. And that's what we're doing for the next 3 months. We're getting our nets ready, mending whatever, doing whatever preparation, because into the new year, Jesus is saying, throw your net on the other side. You might be doing the same things you've done, talking to the same people, witnessing to the same people, but suddenly something's going to happen. Now, God has not called us to save people. He's called us to make disciples. God has not called us to soul win. He's called us to be a worker. A worker in his harvest field. Now, God gave me a picture a while ago. And we were in a meeting with a load of leaders. It was a worship kind of prophetic flow and everything. And God gave me this kind of vision. And it was of a huge harvest field, or many harvest fields. And there was a massive barn, and in the barn were all the equipment, the machines, the tools, everything that was needed for the harvest. And in that barn, that's where the machines were cleaned, were prepared, were oiled, were serviced, tools were sharpened, everything was made ready. But that was not the place of the harvest. The machines could not harvest the harvest in the barn. The harvest was harvested when the machines went out and did what they were designed to do. There were different types of machinery. There are all kinds of different people here. And we're all sharp and functioning in different ways. But everything was needed in that barn to bring in the harvest. But also some of the equipment in that barn was to then not just get the harvest, but then to turn the harvest into what it was meant for, the kind of food it was going to provide. God is doing something in the church generally. And when you read scripture and you see what Jesus did, he went, every town he went to the synagogue and taught the people. But he also preached the gospel of the kingdom out in the streets, in the fields, whatever. And then he healed the sick and cast out demons, cleansed the leper. He did all of that as well. So God's not saying the meeting point that we have as Christians is a waste of time and everything's going to happen out there now. But the harvest is out there, not in here. When we gather together, this is to be a meeting place for his glory. A place where God comes and dwells amongst us and we encounter God, we get trained, we get equipped. This is the barn. Now you have to bring the harvest into a barn. Right? But in order to get the harvest, there's certain things that have to happen out there. And one of the things God said to me is, don't try and see anybody saved for the next 3 months as a church. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 9? When he saw the people, they looked like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. And then he turned to the disciples, said what he did, and then he said, pray for what? Workers for the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so he's saying this, but he said, pray unto the Lord of the harvest for workers. He didn't say pray for the harvest. He said pray for the workers. Now, the next thing, he turns to the 12. I don't know whether they got in a huddle and they began to pray. I mean, he said to them, pray for the workers. So I presume they began to pray. Jesus normally followed up what he said with action. And you can imagine that Jesus and the 12, they're in a little huddle. And Jesus just said, hey, lads, got to pray for the workers because the harvest is plentiful. Let's pray to the Lord now for all the workers. And so they're thinking, oh, it's going to be exciting. Where are they going to come from? And so they get around in their group and they begin to pray. And one of them thinks, let's get Jesus in the middle. Let's pray for him because he's good at preaching. He's good at healing. So they gather around Jesus. They begin to pray for him. And, oh, Jesus, we thank you that you're so awesome at preaching. You're so amazing at healing. We thank you, Jesus, that it's so good to be with you and serve you. It's going to be so exciting to see what you do next and how you work and how you change lives. Oh, Jesus, you're so awesome. And then Jesus says, hang on, lads, what are you doing? He said, don't pray for me. He said, I'm praying for you. And the next thing he says, hey, guys, in order to fulfill what I've called you to fulfill, here's the authority to now go and do what I've called you to do. And so he said, now you can have my authority to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick, raise the dead, all the things he said at the beginning of chapter 10 of Matthew. But when he told them to do five things, he said, go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, go and save people. He said, go and preach the kingdom. And as you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse those who have leprosy. So he basically said, go and tell people the good news, but when you tell them the good news, demonstrate it with the life of the good news. Is that all right? And so for the next 3 months, what we're going to do is we're going to get ready. Because God wants to lift all the pressure that any of us feel that we all have to be saving people all the time. Because it's his job to save people. It's a work of the Spirit to touch lives and to soften hearts and to save people, bring people to a revelation that they need Jesus. We can't do that ourselves. But we are called to take the kingdom, the good news of the gospel out there, but with signs following. So the next 3 months, we're going to prepare in prayer and then practically through some of what we do on Sunday mornings and in other ways, we'll explain, just thinking some of these things through as to how we're going to do this in the next 3 months. Because when Jesus told Simon to throw his net on the other side, there was something of a God dimension that happened at that moment. See, Peter didn't catch those fish. The fish were caught in the nets. Somehow God orchestrated the fish to come to the nets at that moment. And God orchestrates the harvest. And God wants to bring a harvest into the nets in the new year, for next year. But we need to be ready as we can be. And it's going to mean teamwork because Simon called on his partners, hey, come and help us because this thing is sinking. But why does God want us to prepare? God wants to have us to have as many people on the quay side as we can that are prepared, that as the harvest comes in, we process, for want of a better phrase, process them in the right way. Do we help people come right through to be born again, to be set free from addictions, from habits, from certain things that go on in their lives, you know, things that have been done to them, things they've been victims of, things maybe even perpetrate in other people's lives, that God wants to set people free completely. Not just have a few saved here or there and then we're working with them for years trying to get them sorted out, but that dynamic of the Holy Spirit touching people's lives in such a powerful way. And so, but then what do we do with them? Helping them to come into relationship with him, establishing the truth in their life, seeing them baptized in water, obviously, as part of that whole thing, baptized in the Holy Spirit, released in tongues, really coming into the fullness of their salvation, helping them to grow. But what are we doing? To train them to be workers also. So it's not just to have a few new believers, but God wants to bring the harvest in so that they become workers as well. I think workers is a better word in some ways to help us at the moment than discipling. Because lots of people say, well, I don't know how to disciple people. But God has called us to be workers in his harvest field. Now, some are going to be great at doing that. And others are going to be great at helping people to get established in their faith. Others are going to be great, helping people to be set free from stuff. Why? Because God works through us as a body and we all work and function in different places. And the harvest is out there. It's not in here. And the emphasis that God is talking about, not just with us, but with many other situations, is it's what God wants to do out in the everyday world through the body of Christ. in their everyday lives. And we've been talking about this stuff for a while. So where does the glory of God come into all this? You know, John Wesley, the revivalist guy, when he was alive and preaching all over the country, he would have believers' meetings. And in those meetings, if somebody was not saved or was not a believer, they weren't allowed in the meeting. They actually had what they called deacons or bouncers on the door, right? And they wouldn't allow anybody that was not a believer in the meeting. So this is a believer's meeting, he said, and only believers can come into the meeting. And he used to say that the meeting was to train and equip the workers for the harvest, and that the meeting also was a point for the glory of God to come amongst the believers. Now, a lot of the people that worked with him at the time, for years and years, constantly fought him and said, why, you shouldn't be so exclusive. You should let unbelievers into the meeting because of the glory of God and the way God moves. People would get saved. And he said, no, the harvest field is out there. So we come and be trained and equipped. The glory of God impacts our lives as we worship God, as we let the Word and the Spirit work in our lives. And then we take that out to where the harvest field is. So he preached the gospel for souls, for salvation, if you like, out there. He didn't do that in a building with believers. Now, there was what you'd call revival. A lot of you have probably read things about Wesley and have probably sat and said, God, I'd love that kind of thing to be happening now. Well, God's going to do something unique here and in this country in a different way than he did then. But the day he died, or the day after he died, the people that he worked with him started letting people come into the meeting that were not believers. They changed. And it was from that day onwards that the revival began to wane. Now you could say, well, that sounds a bit exclusive, running it like that. But what did Jesus do? There were times when Jesus was with the multitude out in a public situation, talking about the kingdom, demonstrating the kingdom. And then there were times when he took just the 12 aside, or even just the 72 aside. And that's when it was the believers' meeting, where he taught them, encouraged them, trained them, equipped them, probably challenged them, confronted them, as well as all that kind of stuff, or talked about situations, and they probably asked lots of questions. But when he sent them out, it was interesting, he sent them out to do the same things as he'd been doing. When you look at Ezekiel 47, it talks about the temple and the river running out of the temple from under the altar and then out of the temple. And each marker point, Ezekiel says, that the man in his vision marked out was a 450-meter gap. So first of all, the water was around his ankles. Then it was around his knees. Then it was around his waist. Then the water was above head height. And he said, if you read through that chapter, it says that it was deep enough to swim in. It's talking about the river of God or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then he begins to describe what he saw. He saw all the living creatures, the fish and all the things that were living in the water, that the life of the water produced. And it talks about all the trees that were bearing fruit all the way along the river because of the life that was in the river. And then it says that when the river of life met the salty water, it cleaned the salty water and made it pure. But it's interesting that the further you go away from the temple, the deeper the river is flowing and the more life and fruitfulness that is taking place. Interesting, isn't it? And I believe, I mean, God's challenging me, talking to me, or he says things to me and it challenges me. And God is, maybe we're just very slow at responding to him or changing the way we think or really believing what he can say. But the way in which God wants to work today in the 21st century is different than he did 5 or 10 years ago. 20 years ago. God doesn't want us to take church out to people. He wants to take Jesus, the life. People don't want church because of what they think it means. And somehow God's trying to get through to us here and other places that the way in which he's pouring out his spirit now to do what he wants to do is we're not going to see all the things happening in the meetings. We can have awesome times. People can get healed in here. The glory of God can come in here. But that's so that we're equipped and we're full of him and we're ready any given week for what he wants to do through our lives. But God is wanting to help us see that you and me, in our everyday lives, wherever we are, we have the kingdom, we carry the kingdom, the glory of God is in us, and that's where he wants to work. And we got 3 months to get ready in prayer and practically so that we're ready for the harvest. Many of us have been sowing seeds in unsaved people's lives, and maybe we've seen a few people saved here or there, but there's a lot of people out there where there's seeds in there, but those seeds need to break open. You know, the seed of the gospel's in there, but that seed needs to now break open in their lives. I was going to do something earlier in the meeting, but I didn't feel it was right at that moment. But the way we do everything, we'll either honour or dishonour God. And there's a few things I feel we need to tighten up on as a church that we got sloppy on. Some of these things are things I need to get sorted to do with the way we run certain things, but there's other things that we as a body firstly, I apologise for we're not good sometimes at keeping time. Now, you know, God can take over and time goes up the spout, doesn't it? But there's other times where we're just not that disciplined. So on Sunday mornings, all I'm meeting, they're going to start probably 1 or 2 minutes before the time. So we're kicking into things. It was sloppy this morning, the time that the children went out. They should be going out at 22, not 10 to. So you might be there wondering, when are the kids going out? Are they going out? They haven't put the thing on the board yet. Are they ready upstairs? We're sorry that we're sloppy in that way. We're not going to be sloppy anymore like that. Praise and worship. All of us. We need to cut the sloppiness out of the way we praise God and worship God. If we're going to come to the 9:30 meeting, then be here to praise God at 9:30. Or if you're late, then wait and come at 11:30. If you're going to come at 9 o'clock to pray, you need to be here before 9 o'clock. Because at 9 o'clock, we're shutting the doors. And nobody will be able to get in between 9 and 9:20. Because those who are here, we're going to pray. And what we don't want is the doors open, people gradually drifting in for 20 minutes and some will pray and some will sit and chat and it will just... So the prayer meeting's from 9 till 9:20 and we're going to pray. And then at 20 past the doors will open and people can then come in, get your place and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to kick off a minute or two before because we want to start. And when we praise God, we're going to give him everything. To be honest, it doesn't really matter what style you like or I like or what we don't like. At the end of the day, we want to praise God because what happens when we praise God is not just a Sunday morning activity. In Psalms, it talks about the praises of God's people silence the enemy. You know, we need to understand what we're doing. That's why timekeeping is important. That's why it's important that we're here on time. That when we're like, come on, let's praise God, we don't take 5 minutes to warm up, but that we come ready as a people. Because we're not just coming to church What we're doing is we're coming together to praise, to stand in the Spirit in that place that we've been called to declare things, to decree things, to change things, to stand up as an apostolic people with the anointing that God has given us in praise and worship, to stand there to silence the enemy and to release the purposes of God. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. Okay. We need to have more people up here. I don't care whether you can sing or not, to be honest. I really don't care whether you can sing or not. I'd rather have 40 people up here who are jumping up and down, praising the Lord, or they're just free to worship the Lord. I don't really care if you can sing or not. If you're going to play an instrument, you need to be able to play the thing, all right? Otherwise, it will sound dodgy, you know? But what we want is worshippers up here. Why? Not just so that we can all watch them, but because it's about the glory of God. I personally, for me, I nearly came up earlier in the meeting than I did, but I don't think we were glorifying God. Certainly, you know, we need to have 30 or 40 people up here. As many as we can get up here. If we have to buy more risers, or I don't care what we need to do, but let's be a people that when we do come together, we know what we're doing. We're not just having a meeting. Please don't ever come here just to have a meeting, to go to church. If you just want to go to church, then go to another one where you can just go to church. We can sing some stuff and go home after 59 minutes. I don't, you know... We don't just want to go to church. We want to come to meet with God. So, you know, whether you're at the back, the sides, the front, the middle, you know, wherever you are, whether it feels loud or quiet, whether you can sing or not. I mean, I can't sing. I'm all right in tongues most of the time. That's why half the time I sing in tongues. But I'm not that great a singer, and down here sometimes you haven't got so many people around you, and you're singing away and you think, man, I sound awful. But you see, one of the things God's been saying is, look, as a people, you're a dwelling place for my glory. So be that. And so I think the choir thing, you can say, well, Jesus won, but I'm not particularly into choirs. I'm not that kind of person, right? For me, you know, maybe it is up to me, but a lot of the time I'd probably just have 4 or 5 people and it would be a lot louder than it is if it was just down to me. Half of you might not be even in this church if I did everything the way I really, really... would do them. I'm serious. I'm really serious. Some of you would probably leave if we did some things the way I would really do them. Now, you might say, well, go on then, do them, because that's what we're supposed to do. But this thing is not to be set up around my preferences. So I understand that, and we all understand that. So there are things about this church. You say, well, you're the leader. You should be able to change anything. Yeah, but you only change things in a way that are right and that are for the purpose of the body. Because it's not about me or one or two other people. It's about all of us together. Praising God and all that kind of stuff. But I just feel, man, we've got to go. We've got to just... I mean, to be honest, I don't care if you even come to music practice. These guys will shoot me. If you want to sing in the choir, just tell us. But it's not even singing in the choir. I mean, that choir, what a horrible word. If you want to be up here, just to be a worshipper, right? I'd rather we have 30, 40 people up here. These guys would love it, wouldn't you, if there were more people up here? I mean, even if we have to turn the mics off, you know... Now, there's got to be some. We need to know who's going to be. Oh, and we could have more people up here than down there. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? But why? Because everybody up here, as soon as we, like, come on, guys, let's go, needs to be like, boom, straight away. So that then everybody, because we all come ready, don't we? We all sort of go, yeah, come on, God. So whether we start with worship stuff or fast stuff or whatever, however we start, we want to understand that it's something of the Spirit that is going on.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's right.
It's breaking things open in the call and the purpose of God. Now, there's some stuff that we need to do in terms of being prepared, you know, that aren't just what you say, more spiritual, more vision oriented things to do with how do we work this out in our lives, in our workplaces, and all that kind of stuff. And we can come to that because we need to earth everything that God is saying. I want to ask anybody, has anybody had a promotion at work in the last month or so? Anybody else? If you've had a promotion, can you come on the stage? Just come up, come up, come on. If you've had a promotion at work, come up on the stage. Now, most of the time when we pray for people, it's because they're going out as a missionary somewhere or other. We send them out. Or people are going to uni or whatever. But we don't often celebrate what God is doing in our lives. You see, if you ever had a promotion, why? Because you've been doing better than everybody else. You've been recognized for what you can do. And so therefore, people give more responsibility. Most of the time, it comes with a wage increase as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is nice. Is that right?
Yeah.
If you haven't had a wage increase, let us know. We'll pray for you so they give you one, right? But we want to value and we want to celebrate what God is doing in these people's lives, but also we want to pray for them and we want to pray for a fresh anointing upon their life, because when you have a promotion, it means you have a greater responsibility over more people or productivity of the company. Now, God wants to bless the companies or the organizations or whatever it is that each one of these people work for and represent. But God has given these guys greater influence in the place that they work with the people they are. And they're like priests in their workplace. Yeah. See, the priest is somebody who ministers to God and then ministers to people. And so every one of us is a priest. We're the priesthood of all believers. So we minister to God, but then we minister to other people. Amen.
Amen.
So let's all stand because we're going to pray for these guys. All right. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that okay with you guys? Now, God wants to... Well, this isn't just a prayer of blessing, all right? Just a nice little bless you, mate, for getting a pay rise or a bonus or whatever it is, an upgrade in your job. But God wants to anoint you afresh.
Amen.
For the place that he's put you in, because the favour of God is on you.
Yeah.
You are highly favoured. The power of the Most High overshadows you. You found favour with God. God is promoting you because he wants to give you greater responsibility, greater influence in your workplace.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all reach out your arms, your hands, arms, hands. And we're going to pray for these guys. Let's just pray in the Spirit, shall we? Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you right now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit as they've been promoted to a place of greater responsibility and influence, that your favor comes upon this man in a fresh way. I thank you, Father, for wisdom from on high, insights and seeing problems before they come so that they don't happen. Father, we thank you for greater influence in the workplace. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit on Pete right now. You're anointed as he steps into that place. You're with him. He takes your kingdom there. He takes your authority, your wisdom. He takes your will and purpose into that place. We just speak that fruitfulness right now over his life in a fresh way. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this man, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. Father, I thank you. You've quickened him. Everything he needs in his job. Favor goes before you. Opens things up in a fresh way. Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit afresh right now, the anointing of your Spirit. Thank you that people are you're going to have favor with people, not just with you. Father, I thank you for even greater pay increase, even greater favor. You give her ideas and wisdom, Father, she's going to share with her bosses. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you bless her abundantly in every way. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. She's been promoted that wisdom, that favor in the workplace, Father. I thank you that she speaks to people. They open up their hearts. That she'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. In the workplace, there is a priest, Father, serving you, but ministering to others. Father, I thank you that you would bless her in her work, that it would multiply. They'd be amazed at what she produces in the work you've called her to. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit right now. Father, I thank you for your wisdom, for your favor. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you that you break down walls that are so hard to break down. You reach into people's hearts in a way that's impossible for man in this man's work environment. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the favor that rests upon you. God's going to just give you such favor with some of your bosses, those in authority over you.
Thank you.
You're going to have ideas and wisdom. You're going to see things, discern things. And sometimes you're going to think, well, that's just obvious, isn't it? But it's obvious because it's the Holy Spirit showing you stuff. And there's a discernment and a common sense that we have as Christians that maybe a lot of people don't have out there. And you're going to see things and you're going to say things. And you're going to be, man, that guy's got wisdom. He's got answers. He's got solutions. Father, I thank you for making this man a solution man, a problem solver. We thank you, Father. You're anointing right now. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon this man, your favor that goes before him. I thank you, Father, you're going to open up situations for this man in his workplace, in the company that he's in. Father, I thank you. You bless him abundantly as he puts his hand to what you've called him to. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise your name. Let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, God is just as much with you when you walk into the office or you walk into a situation, whatever it is, whatever your job is. God goes with you. You take him with you. He's already there. When you go across the, what do you call it?
Threshold.
Thank you. As you step across that, it's like God says, I'm already here. You're walking in him all the time. You take him into it, even though sometimes around you it might feel totally godless. It might feel so opposite to what you know the presence of God is like and what the peace of God is like. But yet, that's why you're there. You're there. You carry something.
Yes.
You carry something that's different. You carry a kingdom with you.
Yes.
That's awesome. You carry a kingdom with you into whatever situation you're in. And with that, you have the full force of heaven. You have wisdom, you have insight, you have a sensitivity, you have creativity, you have answers, you have solutions, you have whatever you need in that place at that time. And this is one of the reasons why God's saying for us to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Because God is wanting to break things open in people's lives out there. Amen. And God anoints us for the life that he's called us to. Let's really encourage these guys, shall we say, sit down. Come on. Okay, thanks, guys. Okay, just grab a seat. Now, we've said a lot of things in different ways in the last half an hour. It's an autumn of preparation. Whoever's writing the title for this message, just call it Preparing the Nets. The prayer unlocks the purposes of God. There's things that God has purposed for next year. And we want to unlock those things in prayer. There's a fruitfulness. See, harvest and fruit are different. Harvest is bringing in people getting born again, basically. Fruitfulness is then what is produced in people's lives. So God has a fruitfulness for you and me that is more than we've seen. But there's a harvest out there that God also wants to become fruitful because of the way that we are going to invest in people's lives. One of the things that since beginning of January last year when we had a change round of leadership in different ways, one of the things that didn't settle with me is just for new believers is just to have a group a class, if you like, that new believers come to, and somebody from the leadership does that. And, you know, because God doesn't want to go this way now, he wants to go that way. And so in terms of new believers, we're not going to run classes for new believers, for people to come to, that one of the leaders does all the teaching and training and all that for the, you know, God wants to do it through you and me. Because of what God does with us over the next 3 months, you're ready, as your friends or your neighbors, your work colleagues, family, whoever it is, that you have what you need to do that with them. See them, take them through really getting set free. Beginning to establish the truth in their lives. Helping to begin to grow them as people of God. We don't want to centralize things. We want to decentralize things more. Because it's about the priesthood of every believer with what God's doing. I met one of the other leaders from the town, church leaders, the other day, just for an hour. And he said, oh, what's happening with you? And I just started to share what happened to me the Thursday before and what God's been saying to us. And he was like, wow, he couldn't believe it. He said, this is what God's been saying to me. And it was exactly the same. And for an hour, I said something, he said something, I said something, he said something. And we were sitting there in Costa's, and I was sitting there thinking, man, the volume we were talking at once, because we were excited. It was like, you know, but we were like, oh, we were talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and church and all sorts of stuff. And I was thinking, I don't know what people think, but we were just excited about what God was saying to us and what, and in his particular church, what they're doing is they're scrapping all their evangelistic programs. Now, this guy loves to plant churches. He loves to see people saved. And God said to him in August, stop trying to get people saved. He said, train the workers. He said, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Some were gave, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to keep the works, the saints for the work of service. Those two verses there. And he says, that's what you got to do. He said, for the rest of the year, he said, for the autumn, he said, don't do anything except train the workers for the harvest for next year. Yeah. And it was like, and it's exciting because he said, man, you're saying exactly what God has said to me. And I'm like, you're saying to me what God's saying to us. This is great. And we're like, what's going on? What's happening? He's like, man, we just need to keep in touch and see how God wants to work all these things out. But there's something that the Holy Spirit is up to. That's what God's trying to get through to this morning. There's something the Holy Spirit's getting up to, and we've got to be ready. All right? Doesn't matter what you might have seen or not seen before. Put all that lot there and say, right, we're going forward. So it's going to be great to see what happens next year. But we've got to get ready in these next 3 months. Now, there'll be probably people getting saved anyway over the next 3 months, but God's saying, I want my house to be a house of glory. Amen. I'm not saying we're going to shut the doors to anybody that's not saved, okay, like John Wesley did, but I'll just use that as an example, because if we're not careful, we can say, well, everybody's got to come to church to receive Jesus, to become a Christian, and God's saying, no. I want people to receive me out there. That's where most people are going to get saved. There might be some that get saved in here, but God's talking about out there, where the body is functioning the way it should do, and he's called us to. And so God's going to build faith over these next 3 months. Our faith is built to expect certain things in here. Now God wants to build our faith to expect things, that we, you know, greater things, if you like, out there. Let's all stand up, shall we? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes a sec. We're going to pray. Father, thank you that I'm a net. Not that your name is a net, but you are a net. Okay? We don't want to throw a net overboard. Well, that'd be quite good, probably, if she's good at catching fish. Just thank him that you're a worker. Thank him that you're a harvester. Thank him that you're going to help people to grow and get established in the things of God. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to do this, that, and the other. God wants to fit us as a body so that we're the most effective we can be. Now, just ask him, Father, in the next 3 months, train me, equip me. Now, we're not talking about a passiveness. Oh, I can relax for 3 months, then I'll just receive like a sponge. No, what God is saying is he's getting us ready for the harvest, for the work, and all that that's going to involve. Just invite him. Prepare me. Do whatever you need to do in me, Father. Holy Spirit, I just surrender afresh. Do whatever you want to do. Whatever you need to do. Just choose to give yourself in prayer. We have a VIP on Wednesday. And Wednesday night's going to be unlocking things in the Spirit. It's going to be unlocking the harvest. It's going to be unlocking fruitfulness. It's going to be unlocking the purposes of God on Wednesday night. It's going to be like a just standing up in the Spirit saying, right, Father, we're here. And we're here to unlock some things. We're here to decree, to proclaim. We're here to, whatever we need to do, intercede, pray. And God wants to teach us how to do that on Wednesday, but as we're going to do it, as we learn how on Wednesday night. Spirit of prayer, we talked about last week. God wants that to be increasing. I don't know about you guys, but during this week, I've been finding it easier to pray. God said certain thing to me about how he wants me to pray. And as I've given myself to that, and I said, right, God, I don't feel like it now, but I'm going to do it because you've said so. As I've begun then, it's like something begins to trigger. You're like, yeah, come on. And then you're actually looking forward to later in the day, or I have been anyway, later in the day when it's like, you know, late and once or twice, because I've been thinking, there was one day I was thinking, oh, I can't wait till later when I can pray again. And it was like a little voice said, why do you have to wait till later? Do you know what I mean? And just let the Holy Spirit stir in you afresh. Give him that space. Give him that opportunity. Give him that time just to stir in you by his Spirit in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your anointing. Just raise your hands this morning. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now coming upon every person. The anointing to pray. Father, I thank you that we are the priesthood of believers, that we minister to you, but then we minister to others. And Father, I thank you for this house being a house of your glory. Father, I thank you that you help us to understand at this time, quicken what we know, but just make it fresh about when we praise God, it silences the enemy. When we worship, it's like there's a declaration in the Spirit of the glory and the majesty of God that makes a way for your purposes. Father, I thank you. I thank you just you're taking us. We're going to have to trust you because we're being led by you in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him. Thank him that you're a worker. Thank him that you're going to be an effective worker. Thank you, Jesus. 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 In your workplace, you are anointed for where you work. The favor of God is on you for where you work. Nobody else doing what you're doing can be as favored as you are where you are, because God has anointed you to be where you are at the moment. You are highly favored. You walk into your workplace with the favor of God on your life. If you aren't working and you got kids and you, when you walk into that playground, you are highly favored. When you're amongst other parents, when you meet up with friends at a health club or a hobby or sport you're into, you walk in as highly favored with the kingdom of God. You're there with something that is so alive and powerful and vibrant because you're favored, because you're anointed. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray over these cards. Let's raise our voices and thank you, Jesus. Now, where you are, just command every sickness to go right now. No tongues for a minute. Just command every sickness. Speak to the sicknesses. Command them to go. Command every spirit of death to go right now. Now, release life. Command life where there isn't life. Declare God's release of supernatural provision. Whatever people need, now just release God's answer. Now release a spirit of revelation on those that are unsaved. Just speak it out. Release it now. That revelation that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your name for every person on here. We thank you for a God encounter for every one of their lives in whatever they need. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.